This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Actually, this gives you... You have to be a bit churlish to say that this doesn't give you a bit of an opportunity. But I think people need to read the runes, because, of course, the elephant in the room is...
It's just gone out, actually.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. I thought I'd do nasty one liners. Oh, my God. everybody's a localist when there's no money. Because I would be. Because if I were a minister now, I'd be saying, well, I want that to be a local decision, because I want to stand at the dispatch box and say, I'd love to have intervened when we closed all your libraries, old people's homes and everything else, but regrettably it's a local decision that has nothing to do with me. And I would really, you know, that's where I want to be. I think today's announcement from the CLG was quite interesting, because what they've done is issued the paperwork on the grants that are going to be taken away in the current year. And the commitment was to remove ring-fence grants, which everybody in local government thought, great, we don't like ring fencing. No, actually, what they meant was, they're going to take the grant away, not the ring fence. And so anybody would want to be in favour of the one, not realising you actually just lost the lot. I think it is a good time to be in local government for some. My problem is, how many are going to be left? And there are some real difficulties in trying to square all this circle. At the moment, I can't quite see how. If you look in the, and then you've gleaned through, you've taken every word obviously from the coalition programme. What it actually says in terms is, apart from having tougher rules to stop unfair competition by local authority newspapers, which is detail of the sort I wouldn't have expected to see, but never mind, it says, we will introduce new powers to help communities save local facilities. Sounds good. And it says, we will freeze council tax in England for less than, for at least 1 year and hopefully for a further year. Also sounds good. Now, the last local authority area that said, we will freeze all the taxes, we'll let people freeze taxes by referendum, post-capping, and we'll let people save services, the last place to put them together was California, which today finds itself £41 billion sterling in debt. Now, at what point do we say, well, local people will vote for better services and will vote for lower taxes, as indeed evidence says they do, and we in central government will stand back and say, well, that's okay then. Now, I just don't think that sounds real. I know it's in the coalition agreement, and I know they're all honest people, and I know it's all going to be great, but is it really going to work in the way that they say? Now, were I sitting as minister, I mean, Eric began by saying he wanted my job, well, I certainly don't want his, though I am glad to see that he started to realise you need to pay Chief Exec decent money, because the first one appointed was he appointed himself in Doncaster. But one of the things that seems to me a bit unreal is a commitment to all of this and that it's going to cost no money and we can still drive out costs for all of this. We do need, I criticised the last government for not getting on the front foot and saying, OK, if we're going to do this, some things will have to stop. And I think we're going to end up with a real dilemma of citizens empowered to stop councils making stupid decisions, in their view, closing libraries, whatever else, and citizens empowered to stop taxation going up. Because as I said, I've seen what that leads to, and with the best will in the world, even the Terminator couldn't sort it out. And we probably don't have one of those at the moment in central government.
Can I? So I feel rather unfair asking Irene Lucas, Director General of the Communities and Local Government Department, to answer this, because it seems to me that is essentially a political question, and yet you must be having to struggle with it at the policy-making level.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that it's for a fixed period of time, and that wasn't the position in America, and that wasn't a position where it's failed in Europe. Therefore, I won't defend it, but my understanding is that will be for a fixed period of time. And during that time, local government will have the opportunity to step up to the plate. And in the light of those tough fiscal decisions, decide which of the services that they are currently delivering they absolutely must continue to deliver. Which of those services are currently being delivered that they are delivering at enough of an economy of scale to demonstrate to their taxpayers that they're delivering value for money. Which of those services that they're currently delivering could be delivered in partnership with other, or perhaps by another sector, either voluntary sector or private sector. And I think that to pick off one element of what would contribute to either cost reduction in place or additional cost in place doesn't actually work. It's really important, if you look at the 140 different services which local government currently delivers, they have to be looked at in the round, and I don't think really there is a local authority in the country that would say that there isn't an area that they're delivering that couldn't achieve a reduction or an efficiency were local government given the freedom to do so.
But isn't it going to be the unpopular ones? I mean, if you take the showman's case or giving support to the mentally disabled, those kind of things will take a lower priority than, say, having a weekly dustman delivery, which, you know, seems to be such a sort of high priority for a lot of people, including the Daily Mail. And is it going to be a sort of Daily Mail agenda at a local level?
I think in terms of refuse collection, we know that it is the service which is valued by most people. I think Ipsos Mori would say that, because it's the service which is used by most people. Services for mental health are not necessarily used by most people, so there's popularity based on usage. I think the point here is that is a decision for local communities, local people and local authorities to take.
But I mean,
previously been made at a central government level by targets and constraints and a beauty contest of ring-fenced grants. I mean, clearly not all of the policies are actually developed yet, but I can absolutely categorically say that there is a determination to free up local places, to make those difficult trade-offs themselves, rather than to jump through hoops which have been settled nationally.
I mean, I can understand it, and I have a lot of sympathy with the sort of concept of localism, but I've always struggled with this question of when you've got a service that is incredibly necessary to a very small number of people, how do you protect that service when it's such a minority that use it?
I think that, again, this is where local leadership and that democratically elected local leadership comes into play, which is why, as I think we see the policies develop, we will see a greater focus on democratically elected decision-making in place. And clearly the point that you're making is a tension within a system where you would have the majority of people were money to be spent voting on having the rubbish collected rather than providing a very sensitive but very small service. And that is where the role of local leadership and local government, not central government diktat, comes into play within this new framework.
David Clark, what's your view on that? Do you see the tension? I mean,
the tension is obviously there. I mean, there are a whole range of things. If you put to the local community, I live in two places, but my house is in the city of York. There are a number of things that are deeply unpopular, that are deeply necessary, and as you say, for a group of people. Let's take the issue, because Eric has been discussing it, of travellers alone. He's absolutely right. And as I happen to know, two administrations, one Labour, now Lib Dem, have poured money into supporting education outcomes for travellers. To the absolute horror of the local papers, nobody writes to the local papers. You know, we don't care about them. Send them to Doncaster, which is usually the answer in York. And I think it's actually an abjugation of responsibility to say, oh, well, just we'll have a referendum on it. On the point about savings, of course, Irene's absolutely right. But most local authorities could be a lot more efficient, even though some are very efficient. But, and it's a big but, if you take the Institute of Fiscal Studies figures and how much are going to have to be taken out of non-protected budgets, it's of the order, according to IFS, of 25 to 27%. Now, if you take the average unitary budget of a council, you take away education, about running at about 50%, take away elderly care, running at something like 22%, and rising at something like 22%, depending on the local authority, depends on the AI agree, What you've got left, which is actually the most popular bit, it isn't actually emptying bins according to Ipsos Mori. Oddly enough, it's the street stuff and cleaning the streets and all that kind of stuff. So bins comes about next. You're actually in the margins. You're going to have to take an awful lot off there. So for some people, it's a damn big hit. And I'm not sure efficiency on its own is going to do this.
Can I just say that now, and thank you for that, I think people, particularly those watching on the internet, are expecting Irene to give a sort of factual presentation of how the ideas on localism are emerging. So at 5 o'clock, which is 10 minutes late, I'm just going to ask Irene to do that. And I do urge you to stay because it is interesting to see it in those terms.
Okay. The first thing to say is that it's a real privilege for me to be standing here in this position as somebody who has given 34 years of their life to local government, because I started when I was 2. I am absolutely passionate about this agenda. I'm going to keep it really short. I'd like to talk about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it. And I have to say, this is the language of the Secretary of State and the ministerial team. Not all of the policies are developed in its early days, but I really just wanted to give the folk who are interested in this some of the key principles. The fact that we're very serious about shifting the balance of power. That isn't just the ministerial team. They've made it very clear that they believe that Whitehall and the bureaucracy in Whitehall has a role to play here, and that we must make as many changes as the rest of the system. They say it's about making localism part of everyday life. A huge, huge focus on transparency. I think what we're seeing here with the recent announcements is absolute tip of the iceberg. They want everybody to be able to see who is spending the money on what, and for local people to decide whether or not they believe that that is legitimate. There's evidence from all over Europe that as soon as you put this information online, the spending of such things, which are perceived as a luxury, where people would not spend that money if it were their own, but they're spending that money because it's part of an institution, and as you scrutinise that, the spend on that automatically comes down. I think around innovation, we people who've been involved in local government know absolutely that local people, local communities and local places will innovate if they're given the freedom to do that. We know that local people can deliver social enterprise if there wasn't the prohibition of the value for money test of getting an economy of scale. And clearly there's a trade-off here about where we need to make sure that there's economies of scale and where we provide an opportunity for the voluntary sector, small and medium enterprise, to be able to bid for work in order to make a vibrant local economy. But I have to say, in speaking to all of the ministers, it's this issue of neighbourhoods as the building blocks of decentralisation. And if on the one hand you listen to Greg Clark, Minister for Decentralisation, about how we shift the processes and the power from the centre across the system to local government and beyond, the other side of that coin is big society. How we encourage people to take responsibility in place is the other side of that coin. And those two things must be done together, and they must be done sensitively, and they must be done carefully. This huge belief that people should have control of the decisions affect them because they know best what's needed where they live. People are very passionate about what they see when they open those curtains in the morning. We know this, that people will step up to the plate and participate in their life if they believe that they have the ability to influence and to change something. So it's about encouraging local government and neighbourhoods and individuals to innovate in different ways. And I can remember the first conversation I had about comprehensive area assessment. And we know what an industry comprehensive area assessment is. We know what it takes to really focus on use of resources, and that the emphasis has been on inputs. Did we procure it properly? Did we have 3 tenders? Were the tenders carried out properly? Did we notify people that had been successful? And there has been less of a focus on whether or not the number that comes out the end of it is actually the right number. And we know we have evidence that in some places people are paying six times as much for the same commodity as other authorities. We know this is happening. Therefore, all of that energy and effort which has been going into jumping through hoops and centrally based dictated inspection regimes could be spent on actually making sure that we get the best outcomes for people at the right price, and make sure that in advance of what's going to happen in the fiscal environment in the future, we've got enough energy going into that, and there's more of that to come. I think the way that all of the ministers are speaking at the moment is that it's a new situation, it's a new environment. The way that CLG looked yesterday just ain't going to be good enough tomorrow. The way that local government looked yesterday won't be fit for purpose for what we need to deliver tomorrow. And in the words of Richard Scott, to reach a goal you have never before attained, you must do things you've never before done. And there's a sense that a whole raft of really innovative local authorities just get this, and they're on that journey and they're away. And there are lots of examples across the country of that. There are a group in the middle who are watching that happening and who are moving on. But I have to say there's a sense that people seem to think there's a white charger coming over the horizon with pots of gold. There isn't. It's going to be really difficult out there. So we really need to look at those 150 services and ask some serious questions about the way that they're delivered today and whether or not they can be delivered that way in the future. It's about radically remodelling and refocusing government. This is not my language. This is the language of my Secretary of State and the ministers. It's about reforming our own department in line with the localism principles. It isn't about giving away money anymore. It's about giving away power. I think the Secretary of State's already touched on the fact that they want to move at a pace, and they've tried to demonstrate very quickly where something has not been laid down in statute, and they have the freedom to do that right now. They will do that right now, and they'll move that agenda around localism as quickly as they possibly can. They understand that if the pendulum of intervention in place has swung too far, and they need to bring that back, and we need to stop intervening in quite such an intrusive way, that we need to encourage communities to step up to the plate, and they're aware of the sophistication around that argument. We're also aware of places where we have pulled that pendulum back, or that pendulum has been pulled back too quickly, and that has not been done successfully. Very much the language of being into incentives and rewards, as opposed to a pejorative penalty environment. How we're doing it, it's about respecting the views of everybody. This isn't about anybody in an ivory tower in Whitehall knowing best. It's about individuals, communities and everybody across the system. The example I always use about this, around harnessing the talent of absolutely everybody in the system to try and help us through this. Fly tipping, as we know, is one of the biggest blights across this country. And I was involved in an innovation session where we were asking people who worked on the streets, worked on fly tipping, worked in refuse collection, whether they could come up with a solution to the problem. This is one of the highest performing authorities around refuse collection, street cleaning. Fly tipping, it was in the bottom quartile. They made reference to, can you just give me a wave if you can remember the Cadbury Smash advert?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you remember that transaction, you know, you dig the potato out of the ground, you wash the potato, you peel the potato, you chop the potato, you put it in a pan, you take it out of the pan, you mash it. Well, the transaction analysis around fry tipping was similar to that, and there was a guy called Gary in the front row of this innovation session. And he said, do you know, Irene, he says, if you took the blackberries off the suits and give us the blackberries, and the girls in the call centre tell us something needs to be picked up, we'll go and pick it up. Now, that didn't just transform the way that those people felt about themselves as being part of the technological age. It transformed the whole view of their work. And in fact, one woman said, you're Irene Lucas, aren't you? She says, ever since you've given our Gary that blackberries, reporting graffitis, reporting stuff on the way to Asda on a Saturday morning, This is about empowering people and thinking innovatively and differently about the way that we harness the whole of the system in order to address this. And I believe very profoundly and deeply that we can do this if we do it together with individuals, communities, local government, and remodeled and reformed central Whitehall departments, if we do it together, because none of us is as clever as all of us. Thank you very much for listening.